Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
We give thanks to you, our Lord and Father, for you have shown us great grace. Lord, we are undeserving of all of it, but as a gift from you, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for the grace which is so clearly in your Scripture. Lord, that all of the saints throughout the Scriptures are undeserving, great sinners, but are given this great faith from you. Lord, we pray as we read this passage that you would do a work within us, that we would see of all your glory and all of your splendor, that we would see your promises fulfilled as promises are made and kept. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts, not for our sake, but for your sake and your name's sake alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 33. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with the children in front and Leah with her children and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And Joseph and Rachel drew near and they bowed down. And Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in your sight, my lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have enough." Thus he urged him and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way and I will go ahead of you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail and that the nursing flocks and herds are to care to me. If they are driven hard, for one day all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me and at the pace of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed on to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is Succoth. When Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Padam Aram, and he camped before the city. And from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 200 pieces of money the piece of the land on which he pitched his tent. And there he erected an altar and called it El Elohim Israel. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Family reunions can be an interesting thing, especially a family reunion after a space of time within them. The last time I traveled to Australia was about 5 years ago. And since that time, you know, there's 5 years age between the nieces and nephews I've met. There's 5 years age between my brothers and sisters. There's 6 more grandkids for my parents. This drastically changes over a period of time. But here, over a period of 20 years, a lot had changed since Esau and Jacob had left and not seen one another. Now, a family reunion is always an interesting thing, depending on your family, how that family reunion might go. But this family reunion is quite interesting, particularly when we think about the last time that Esau and Jacob were together. Genesis chapter 27 explained that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning of my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So you have this family reunion, this waiting, this longing anticipation of what will happen when Jacob and Esau finally met. This reunion which will take place when the last time they've encountered one another, one of them wanted them dead. And last time when we looked at Genesis chapter 32, we saw about Jacob's plan. That Jacob planned what he would do. He prayed to God. And then ultimately sent presents to Esau to be able to maybe soften the blow. And it's in Genesis 32, verse 20, he shall say, "Moreover to your servant Jacob is behind, for he thought, I may appease him with a present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me." All of this planning and praying and preparation, always for this moment of what is going to happen. And just prior to this, remember that Jacob wrestled with God. He thought the big wrestling would happen with Esau, but here he meets God, leaving him limp because he touched his hip socket. But the day of this time had finally come. The reunion was finally about to happen, to meet his brother who wanted to see him dead. The first thing that we see in this passage is 20 years from 1 verses 1 to 3. Jacob implements his plan that he had prepared for so eagerly. He looks up and finally Esau is in front of him, approaching him with his 400 men of what it seems to be an army on the horizon. Jacob, on the other hand, doesn't have an army. He has flocks that we find out are nursing flocks. He has servants. He has children. So he implements his plan. He separates his families into 2 camps previously, and now Esau finally meets him. So Jacob goes before his children, sending the servants first with their son, 2 sons each, then Leah and her 6 sons, and then finally, last in line, is Rachel and Joseph. Jacob comes first, bowing 7 times as he went. Now, previously, Jacob was trembling in fear because of Esau. But there's no mention of this. But maybe more of a hesitancy. His approach is that he's given him gifts, that he ultimately will see his face, he will accept me. His approach is somewhat different of humility, weakness, trusting in God, as he went to the Lord in prayer. Now this really could be one of the biggest moments of faith for Jacob's conditional promise. As you remember, as he left the land of Canaan, leaving to go to Padam Aram. And Jacob makes a vow to the Lord in Bethel. He says, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." And over this 20 years, God has fulfilled His promise that He made to Jacob, that God was with him. He gave him bread and clothes. But finally, there's this last hurdle that needs to be passed. that to come back to his father's house, but not only to come back to his father's house, to do so in peace. Not to come in a war and just win the war, to come back in peace. You got to remember this dynamics between these two brothers. Jacob is not a hunter. He likes to dwell in tents. Now, we're not told of these two body types of what Esau looks like and what Jacob looks like, but if you had to guess, you would probably assume that a hunter would beat a shepherd. Especially when the hunter has 400 men on your side, when you have nursing flocks and weak children. This is not only testing the conditional vow that Jacob made in Bethel, but also the promise that God had made. Right before, with these children struggling in the womb, who would serve whom? There's two nations in your womb, the Lord told Rebekah. Two peoples within you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. The promise made before they were born, but also back in Bethel, that I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And God has been with him, has been by his side. So in Genesis 31, if God had not been on his side, he told Laban, surely you have sent me away empty-handed, but God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. And all of this is waiting on this moment where they finally meet. This is what we see in verses 4 to 11. The two brothers meet. Finally, after 20 years. And I'm sure sleepless nights of worrying and anxious thoughts of Jacob, the two brothers are within arm's reach. Esau runs to meet him, embraces him, and falls on his neck and kisses him. And both of them are weeping. Now, quite a different change from where they left 20 years ago. But Rachel, Rebecca, their mother knew them pretty well. Back after Esau had told that he would kill his brother, Rebecca said that your brother's anger turns away from you. He forgets what you have done to him. That here she knew that eventually this moment might surpass. Now, when we go back to the blessing, it really appears that Esau was not concerned about the blessing from God, the promises of God, which flows from Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob. He's more concerned about the things that he would get, the possessions. He was quite quick to sell his birthright. But here, they had great possessions. We're told in Genesis chapter 36 that their possessions were too great for them to dwell together. So maybe after this time, Esau has no need for the promise of Isaac. He has made a name for himself. At this point, Esau and Jacob finally look up to see Bilhah, Zilpah, Leah, and Rachel, and all the children. Now, last time that they'd seeing each other, Jacob was a single bachelor, about to go and find a wife, and now he comes before him with 4 wives and 12 children. And Jacob utters a glorious phrase which every parent should be reminded of. The children whom God has graciously given your servant. As we read this morning in our passage, Old Testament scripture reading, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, from Psalm 127. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Joseph will say the same things to Jacob as he meets Joseph's two children. These are my sons whom God has given me here. Children are not ours. They're ultimately God's. Gifts from God's. God. The whole family comes down and bows before Esau. And again, Jacob comes humbly, and so does his family. Ultimately, he tries to find favor in the sight of Esau. Esau asks about not only the gifts or the children that are before him, but also the gifts that he'd received the day before. As you remember, a part of Jacob's plan was to send gifts to Esau. Donkeys, flocks, male servants, female servants. Jacob explains that they're a present sent to Esau. Jacob ultimately wants to be able to have his gifts be accepted by his brother Esau. And Jacob seeks his brother's favor. Laban asks to have the favor of Jacob in Jacob's sight. But he wants to find grace, hen, out of Esau. Like Noah had found favor from God and Abraham did as well, Jacob seeks to have the favor of Esau. Who will serve who? Who will be at each other's disposal? As a promise back to Genesis 25. Now, Jacob does have one thing going for him throughout our whole narrative, as we've seen. That is, he is very persistent. 14 years to be able to marry Rachel. 20 years serving Laban. You might have known someone like this. After going out to eat with them, they insist on paying for the meal. And it's a battle of the wills. Who will be the most stubborn? And this is Jacob in this argument. You will be taking this gift from me. And here Jacob insists that if he has found favor in the sight, then accept my present from my hand. He explains that I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. But ultimately, he explains that he is to accept this gift because God has blessed him. God has been gracious to me. And thus we see in verse 11 that he urged him and he took it. There's two reasons why Jacob insists of blessing Esau in this situation. First, of God's graciousness towards him. And secondly, that he has enough. And finally, Esau does take Jacob's generous gift. We see the two brothers meet, and then we see the two brothers separate in verses 12 to 17. Esau wants this celebration to continue. Let us journey on our way, he says. I will go ahead of you. Now, you've got to remember that Jacob had packed his bags and his camels, and his whole family had fled from Laban in Padan Aram. I just think about this situation here. For us, loading our van for vacation, just going for a week is a chore. And that's our car, let alone camels and our whole life. Even thinking about moving up here and the size of our U-Haul that we had. But we had two children when we moved, three children now when we go on vacation. But he has four wives, 12 children, moving internationally, not with a U-Haul, but with camels, with all your flocks and all your possessions, over 400 miles. And some commentators suggest that it's winter time because he moves in to build booths to be able to shelter his family. And all of this. And now Esau is saying, let us travel on together. Let's go journey some more. A wise parent, I think Jacob is at this point, says, we need to stop. He explains that the children are frail, that they're nursing flocks and herds that need to be cared for. If they are driven hard for one day, all flocks will die. Again, a good shepherd knowing his flock. Again, Esau, this battle of persistence. Well, I'll leave some people here to help you. But Jacob did not need to be served. Esau returns to Seir, and Jacob journeys to Succoth, which is across the Jordan, and built a house for himself. Although Jacob explains that he'll meet him, Esau, in Seir, there's no record of this actually happening. And Esau is mentioned a few times after this, but really, just as a passing comment, the burial of Isaac, and then his genealogy listed in chapter 36. Jacob is clearly the one that Moses follows. So we see the two brothers meet, the two brothers separate, and finally two promises that are kept in verses 18 to 20. Verse 18, "And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is the land of Canaan, on his way from Padan Aram, and he camped before the city." Now this highlights, I think, many things. God had kept his end of the promise to Jacob. To come safely to the land of Canaan. Come safely and peacefully. Chapter 28, verse 21. "So that I may come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God." Now we need to note, I think, that there is, although he is now in the land of Canaan, he has not returned back to Bethel. And I think this is an important thing when we look at the next chapter in chapter 34. But he is back in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Again, you got to think about this writing of when Moses wrote this is when the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness. They have heard the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they will go to a foreign land that will serve for 400 years, but God will bring them back to the land of promise. They will again once be in the land of promise. And here they are in the wilderness wandering. And the promise of that return has not yet happened, but now they see Jacob. And Jacob has returned. God has fulfilled his promise to Jacob, that God had done what he had promised him to do. That Jacob did leave and come back, and God was with him all the way. You think to the end of Genesis, where Israel is found and leaves the promised land. Yet, knowing that the promise will bring them back to the land, he did bring Jacob back and fulfilled his promise, as he would do so with Israel. He would do so with them. Now he purchases land. Now, the previous times when Abraham had purchased land, it was just a burial site. But here he purchases the land to be able to make it his own. Now again, we see this somewhat might be of a bit of a dilemma in the next chapter. We'll say that for next time. But we see God fulfill his promise to bring Jacob back safely, but we also see Jacob fulfill his promise that he had made, that conditional vow which he had made, saying, "If you would be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." And we see that he builds himself an altar for the Lord. Just like Abraham had, just like Isaac his father had done. And he calls this altar Elohi Israel, the God of Israel. Previously, God was Abraham's God. He was Isaac's God. But now we see Jacob fulfill his conditional vow, which says, God is my God. And we see this in Exodus chapter 3, when the elders of Israel are together and Moses told to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That here, the promise that Jacob had made to God, he worships Him. And here at this place, God had seen him safely through this 20-year journey. He had blessed him abundantly as he had told that he has been gracious to him, been blessed him with children. Jacob could have at this point written that famous stanza from John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace. He could have sung it as he stayed there in Shechem. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Here he sees God's hand of providence throughout all of this situation. God has been with him. God has seen him safely back to this land in which God promised he would do. But we do see a warning which comes up in the next chapter. Similar to Jacob and Lot, he moves close to a city. He builds a house. And this decision will cost his family dearly, as we'll see next time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we read of the saints of old. We read of the promises in which you have made and the years in which that have passed, but yet you remain steadfast and faithful to your promises. Lord, that you are able to change the hearts of men. Lord, to change Esau's heart of anger to love and compassion for his brother. That you answered Jacob's prayer that he prayed that night before. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are the one who fulfill and keeps your promises. Lord, help us to trust you when we are in the wilderness wanderings, when we are not yet quite home, to be able to know that you have made us a promise and you will keep that promise. Help us to be able to worship you when we're in a land that is far off. Help us to worship you when we find our way back home. Lord, we pray all these things knowing that your hand of providence is at work, and we pray that we'd be able to trust your hand in all these situations that you have placed us. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.